Hi, everybody. Welcome to Road War. This is episode 43, and I'm Nick.
I'm Will.
And I'm Michael.
And today we are going to do our State of the Faction, but we're doing Convergence.
Convergence of Cyrus, please.
Convergence will do.
I agree. That'll be fine.
Anyways. All right, so yeah. Is it a little weird to do a State of the Faction for them, because there's not a whole lot of releases. They haven't seen a whole bunch of the higher-end tournament play.
Earlier on, we did a... Initial impressions, and this is going to be...
Everybody did that.
But we did initial impressions, and I will definitely say we were wrong about a lot of stuff, because initial impressions.
I don't remember what we said, but I'm sure we were wrong.
I've been playing a lot of Convergence recently, and I think I had some pretty good feedback.
You played three games yesterday, apparently.
I did. It was awesome. I've actually got a thread going on the forums right now. It's kind of like a crowdsourcing army list thread. So if you're interested in Convergence, I would definitely go take a peek at that. We got a lot of people posting up army lists. I'm posting up lists. I'm talking with people about what's good, what's bad, how we think things are going, that kind of stuff. So definitely check out that thread if you're interested in this topic. And if you're not interested in this topic, I'm sorry. But we're going to talk about it.
It'll be fun. We'll have some questions at the end if you don't like it.
It's true. Just fast forward to that.
Yeah.
So the first thing that I wanted to talk about is Lucant and how much we were right about him. He is an absolute monster in the current meta. He's incredibly good against Legion and Signar and
Minoth.
He's pretty solid against Circle. He has game against Scorn. All that he doesn't want to see is Trolls and Kricks. Pretty much everything else he's pretty alright with.
I don't think he's that great against Scorn. Like, he's not terrible, but...
He's fine against those.
It's a game.
Yeah, he doesn't really want to see Trolls because of Janissa's Wall.
Yes.
And he doesn't want to see Kricks because he doesn't have huge amounts of inventory clearing and they can crack the armor.
I was about to say, a lot of this is dependent on the list that he brings.
Correct.
So if we just, like, take a step back, I think
one
of the big problems that Scorn has, just from initial impressions from having played against it, is the Primaxium is really difficult.
It's really good against Scorn.
For Scorn to deal with, because it has the stupid six shots all the time, and the harpoons are, like, surprisingly nightmarish for anything with heavies that you can't do. If you can't manipulate terrain or shield guards or put enough stuff in front of your guys to stop them from drag, it's really problematic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the auto point is, like, deceptive. I think we covered it before. We're like, oh, I wish it was just, like, a powered foe of 14 because he can boost and deal damage. Like, no, the auto point is just way better because you're guaranteed to just make that drag.
It takes a roll out of it, and you're going to kill it when it gets into melee anyway.
I mean, I don't know. I still don't buy the harpoons being able to drag in Scorn heavies. I really don't.
Okay. Why?
Well, so if they're running an elephant herd, then they can just do the buddy system and, you know, set up some arm locks to keep the front ones from being dragged.
And then you're incredibly slow.
There's also Tiberian. Sure. There is, I mean, any sort of terrain is going to, like a wall or whatever.
Only walls and buildings.
Sure. And you also have, I like to play a lot of brutes, so brutes make it... kind of rough to get the drag
sure,
off.
Sure, I agree. I agree, but I don't...
Answers.
I will tell you, having played the list probably 25 times now, mm-hmm. that the drag rarely comes up, but when it does, you instantly win the game.
And it's something that your opponent
fair.
Has to play around, because if you ever mess up your
correct,
system,
yeah.
And if you don't do it, it's... The Convergence player gets free 8 to 10 points.
And you know what Will loves the most?
Free points?
Free heavies.
Yeah.
That's why I play Circle.
So another reason I say that Scorn is probably one of Lucant's worst matchups, is the
this went from okay to worse.
Worst.
Sure.
Is because if you do the thing where you feet and then jam the Primaxium down their throat, like you often like to do, then they just can get Agonizered and...
Sure.
Which, I mean, you can kill the Agonizer and then induct to them.
Because...
So that's not necessarily...
Supplies Bomb Servitor!
The Bomb Servitor doesn't have an easy time killing the Agonizer.
No, it needs 7 to hit, and then it's dice minus 2, so it needs 10, which is not very good.
It's pretty bad, actually.
13?
Yeah.
13.
Eight to hit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not great, but you could probably push a way out to kill it, and then...
I also think a lot of the times against factions that have huge heavy hitters like Bronzebacks and that kind of thing, you're not going to want to jam with the Primaxium. But anyways, I think we're getting ahead of ourselves. The list is... I lost
your
my phone.
Right,
here we go. We're going to pull up War Room, brought to you by Privateer Press. And I think it actually works now, so you should all go buy it.
Usually. Every other time I open it on my Android phone, it works.
Yeah.
Correct.
Step one would be an Apple product.
Step two would be not playing with Androids.
That just went to a very weird place, Will.
I was talking... Yeah. They don't work. But anyways.
That's not
Father Lucant, Corollary Cypher, Primaxium, Galvanizer, Mitigator. We'll talk about the Mitigator here in a second. Enigma Foundry, Algorithmic Dispersion Optifex from here on out called an ADO, Reciprocators, and Optifex Directive times 2. The list is super tanky. It hits really hard in melee, and has an excellent attrition game. Its drawbacks are that it's pretty slow and it can lose on scenario. If it never gets into the zone. Like, once you get there, you're probably fine. It's basically impossible to dislodge.
Yeah. I think if you've talked to me or heard me ranting about it, I think it was back when I was swinging back on Signar, trying to play with Stormwall. I picked Haley with a Stormwall against Will's list. Was it the same? No, it didn't have the,
It was slightly different. It had 2 Galvanizers instead of a Mitigator.
And,
yeah.
And it was probably the second worst game I've ever played. Like, the second most infuriating, because there's, like, there was nothing I could do. In the end, like, the game only lasted 2 turns, so I guess, which was merciful. But a bonded, full-focused, temporally accelerated Stormwall pretty much couldn't do anything. And the way, and Will got to go first, so he just got to pretty much jam the army up in my face, and he was sitting on control points, so he forced me to try and engage it. Or to engage him.
Yeah, with this list, you really want to go first, not second, because it can like, the terrain is not a huge deal. If they get a wall, great, you can't drag them, fine, we talked about that. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Because then their heavies have to go camp out behind the wall. But, if you can go first and run your reciprocators and run your prime axiom and stuff,
it
can really get you ahead. Because then you get to move about 15 inches with your prime axiom before they can really start retaliating.
Yeah.
And most importantly, it's for the reciprocators getting 15 inches up instead of 10. So it's quite a big deal.
Yeah, and his feat is such that, like, it's kind of a denial feat in that it makes his army so tanky and so hard to kill that you either have to stand back and wait for it to go away so you can try and kill him, or you run into him and you don't kill that much and it really sucks.
One of the things that I found that's difficult for him to deal with is jam armies, which is once again why Crix is kind of hard for him.
Also, Crix can explode heavy armor.
Correct, yes. Yeah. But jam armies are rough because you don't have a huge amount of attacks, and even after you do attack, you don't have anything that can, like, move up afterwards. Mm-hmm. So the reciprocators will kill 4 or 5 dudes, fine, whatever. They can't move up, so then you can just jam them again, which is one of the problems of the list I found, is that it gets jammed pretty well. Now, super strong against Minoth, as we said. I haven't really found a Minoth list that I feel bad playing against. All of them seem wonderful.
What about Ekreos?
No, you got rough terrain for days.
Okay.
4 days.
Really? Can you actually put out enough rough terrain to block off all the lanes for that much infantry?
You don't need to block all of them.
Well, you need to... Sure.
You need to block half of them.
Okay.
And then they fucking kill half your prime axiom, and then you repair it, and then you block more.
There are
7 repairs. 8 repairs in that Lucan list.
Yeah, but also, as Will said, it is not good for Lucan, so I think you're actually going to face another list that Will's been working on. So
Sure. Yeah, we'll talk about
it. We can talk about it later.
Moment. Well, actually, I have a bunch of lists I'm working on, so I'm glad we're actually doing this episode, because it lets me talk to them with you guys, and that's great. And you guys get to be part of the creative process.
Hooray!
Hooray! That was most for the listeners, but you too as well, I guess. yeah, so I think that's fine, actually, against Kreos 2.
Alright.
I don't think it's particularly bad. But it is absolutely ball-busting against Signar. I haven't found a list yet with Signar that I think actually even has close to a winning percentage against
it. E-Striker? Like
E-Striker's probably your best bet.
Flanzer's
doing some crazy stuff with Storm Lances.
I don't think it works. I tried...
So what you're saying is the Europeans got to Flanzer.
No, Flanzer's just crazy.
Okay.
No, I've tried a lot of different builds.
He's been crazy before that.
To try and deal with Lucant, and not... Like, you have to skew so hard in, like, the armor cracking, and then, which means you're immediately vulnerable to, like, 80% of the other lists. Because you're like, okay, well,
yeah.
I guess I can take lots of Stormclads and P. Nemo, and you're like, cool, well, if you run into, Protectorate, Circle, Crix, or anything else, you can't play that list because you'll just get destroyed.
Yeah, but unfortunately, if you're playing P. Nemo, Lucant is just going to kill you with blast damage from the Cypher.
That is also quite possible.
Pal 6, I mean, it's rough. For that guy. He's kind
of
old.
I'm just saying, like, there are a lot of skewed lists you could theoretically try to take against it.
But they do.
And it performs okay, but then against everything else, it's not a viable tournament strategy to bring that. Maybe 3 lists, but not for 2.
And even Lucant is so tanky, it's, like, really hard to try to just go for the throat and kill him.
Yeah, he has 21 hit points.
Yeah. It's a lot of hit points.
He's a 14-17, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's surrounded by shield guards.
Yep. So then against Legion, another one of his very strong matchups. He's good against Pthag because he can drag you out of the aura. He's good against Lilith because you can't shoot anything.
Well, you can't. He's just not what you want.
Not to any effect.
Yeah.
I think Saren is okay because Scythians removing from play on the Reciprocators does actually stop them from coming back. But I think it's that whole control feed, whoever feeds second wins kind of situation. Also, I'm not even entirely certain if I feed first that I actually lose as Lukant.
I was about to say,
in
that
matchup.
Not what
like, I don't think even two Scythians one round of Primaxian.
Well, I feel like you're going to weather Saren's Alpha Strike without feeding a whole hell of a lot better than she's going to weather yours.
Oh, yeah, like I'll kill two heavies or something if she tries to take mine and then feeds.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that is a notoriously low model count army, which makes the drag very, very effective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The mitigator is in that list, by the way, to knock down a heavy and then essentially guarantee both hits on the drag. So you can do something like if they have a shield guard, you just shoot it with the mitigator, knock it down, and then you shoot it with the first harpoon, they shield guard it, you shoot it with the second harpoon, they can't shield guard anymore.
Sure.
So it's an anti-shield guard tech, as well as an anti-jam tech. So what you can do with the mitigator is, if they jam up your reciprocators, you run them in like two little triangles with the, like inside of the triangles being the same guy. And then you can just aim and shoot that dude in the back, the center one, and it just kills all the small base infantry in front of him, does one damage to all of them, doesn't knock them down because it's not an enemy model hit, and it kind of frees them up a little bit. I've also found that it's just been really solid at just randomly killing two or three infantry a turn. You just find the ones that are standing next to each other, peg something with it, and there you go. So, I love that little guy right now.
So Lukant is your number one.
Lukant is my number one. Now, number two is a much harder question. For me, I'm really trying to find a Crix drop in number two, and I like Aurora.
You know, so you're pretty hot on Aurora. I think back at the beginning.
Well, so I like Aurora. I like Cynthirion. I like Mother. I like all three of those against Crix.
Have you actually built a Mother list?
I finally have one. I haven't actually gotten to play it yet because I came up with it while I was kind of drunk last night with Craig. But you know, whatever. We'll talk about it.
I think Aurora has probably had the biggest change since she was first released and you were playing
that
was her.
Yes. Different. I was playing the tier list, and I like the tier list against Crix, but I don't think it's very good against very many other things. One of the Forumites pretty much unanimously agree, and I kind of agree with him, that it's mostly an assassination list. It's not very good on attrition, because the angels are so easy to kill. There's no recursion. Like, if you can kill them, they just die. If you can't, fine. Whatever. Deal with it. But the Aurora list that I'm running at the moment, and I think may become popular, is it's a medium-based infantry brick that uses two units of Reciprocators, one unit of Eradicators, and a bunch of Enigma Foundries, and only two units of Clockwork Angels. And what I like about this list is it jams really hard. It's really fast to counter, to kind of balance out the Lukant list. It's really strong in scenario if it gets to go first. And it hits quite hard with Transference, like surprisingly hard. It can in a large volume of attacks.
Yeah. I was about to say, it can clear a lot, and it's very resilient, even to things like Banes. Like, I didn't play it with my Crix, but I played it with Zol, which essentially replicates what a lot of Crix armies do, which is a bunch of infantry guys that hit really hard. And it was just really hard to deal with, because how many... Well, the medium base guys come in 5-2 unit?
Two, convergence.
So there's 15 of them coming in your face, and it's like...
Phrasing.
Yeah, phrasing. They're running into your face.
There we go.
Boosh. Yeah, that was horrible phrasing. But it's just really hard to deal with, like, especially the sidestep ones, which haven't been released yet, so.
Will they come out in January?
Yeah, they come out in January, but,
Yeah, those guys really surprised me, honestly.
When I was playing against Will, I was surprised with how far he was able to, like, dig into my army and then walk back from the feet. And so it's like, well, I countercharge, and the set defense on the shield ball guys is kind of annoying, and they're also still really hard to kill. And the Enigma Foundries backing them up is just really obnoxious. Plus, yep. The repairs. Like,
we also had two Optifex directives just standing behind them, repairing them all.
You get
True Path for the whole army for Pathfinder.
Yeah, I mean, I tried a couple different ways of dealing it throughout the game. Like, the first time I was like, alright, I'm going to concentrate on just a couple and just blow them up and I'll whittle them down one at a time. Well, when two of them come back a turn, that means you have to kill at least three, which is exceptionally difficult for the shield ball guys, who are generally the ones in the front. It's like, okay, well, maybe I'll try spreading the damage out. And then that way I'll be able to, like, whittle them down over time. Well, that doesn't work either because you have all the ADOs behind them. And
just the ODs.
Oh, I'm sorry. Whatever those
things are. The Optifex directives.
The directives are standing behind there. It's like, all right, well, if you spread out the damage, and let's say you do, like, 4 or 5 points, then some of them are going to get healed down to only having 2 damage on them, and some of them are just going to be fully repaired. And it's just like, it really sucks over time. And then also, your guys are, like, jammed in against theirs, so you might not be able to get the charge again, which generally with infantry is going to be required.
It's super sad.
Well, then they just don't do anything. Like,
well, then Will just like stabs you to death in Shield Wall, and you're like, sweet, what do I do? Yeah.
And the list is so fast, it's almost guaranteed to make it into zones, because they advance 7 Shield Walling. So they run 12 first turn, next turn advance 7 Shield Wall.
Yeah.
So they're 29 inches up the board on turn 2 if you win second. Yeah. In Shield Wall. And you can usually afford to run with them on turn 1, because one of the problems with, like, running Manowar, and the other medium infantry on turn 1 that have Shield Wall is, you really need that 4 armor to stay alive, but if one or two die on the approach,
who cares?
You just replace them with the Enigma Founders.
The Enigma Founders aren't doing anything that turn anyway.
Yeah, they're just gonna run.
And the Enigma Founders also have repair 10.
Correct.
So
if it really hits the fan, or you don't kill any of them, you just spread them all out, the Enigma Founders gonna start repairing as well.
Also, without...
Three Steel Soul Protectors, so you
two.
Can't...
No, two currently. Two. It might go to a third by the end of it.
So you can't shoot the Enigma Foundries.
Correct.
And if you do, you're not going to kill one. And
it's,
they repair
It's difficult to one-shot one, and then you can just repair the Enigma Foundry.
Also, the other thing is, without... I was going to mention this. Like, Scorn doesn't have a whole lot of guns, typically. And my Zolas has no guns. And not being... Like, no, I think...
It has Zol.
Yeah. Okay. Shut up, Nick. With his... What is he, a Pow 6?
Pow 6.
Yeah. Well,
but really good against convergence.
But you add the strength of any living models you shoot to the
so
of
if,
the gun.
So if I manage to tag Aurora, I guess.
But, or the Adia. Or Dio. Or Adia.
Yeah. So anyways, well, without any guns, if you can't put pressure to make, like, the convergence opponent keep the Enigma Foundry back, and you're a melee army, it's a really bad time for you. Because that thing can get up relatively safe, because you're not, you can't trample over his medium base infantry. And you're probably not going to be able to kill a whole lot of them to make gaps for your guys to run through and hit the Enigma Foundry. And if you can't stop those things from bringing back the medium-based guys, it's like, I think...
It's really difficult.
The games that I've played against Will, I've come to the conclusion that Convergence might unseat Crix as the most attrition faction out there. It is exceptionally difficult to actually to whittle them down.
It like, really is.
Between all their guys being able to repair, their recursion, and just their ability to just tank up, it's like... Really, really hard.
And
to
if
crack.
You try to do the same thing to them, and like jam them up with high armor, they have transference, so they're still going to eventually
you just go for pal 14s and boost all the damage.
That list is super annoying to play against.
It is. It's really good, and you always have the 22-inch Aurora assassination.
Yes,
that is running up behind the football squad of dudes.
Yeah,
so you always got to be aware of that one. So that list,
is a lot harder for you to get. An angel in flank with the caster.
Correct, yes.
But the angels in that list, whenever I was playing, they're just running up the side. They're never committing.
Sure.
Like, ever. And they're speed 7?
Yeah.
So they can run 14 pretty far to get into position. But yeah. That's just something, like, where if you mess up, like, when I was playing Will, it was a kill box scenario, and Zol is already not very tanky. So I was like, alright, well, I have to get to the edge of the kill box. Will went first, so he was able to push the line of engagement really far off the table. So Zol's pretty much spent the entire game, like, standing on the very edge of the kill box, and then me putting stuff around him so Aurora couldn't just randomly run in and just kill me. And so, like, it was really horrible.
It's another thing that you have to think about. So whereas in the Lucant list, you have to worry about the attrition game. You don't really have to worry about the assassination game, but you do have to worry about the drags. It's just one more thing. Like, the Aurora with the assassination, convergence puts a lot of strain on your opponent and gives them a lot of chances to mess up. That's one of the things that I found. Yep. That being said, it's also a very difficult faction to play. There's huge order of activation things going on.
Yeah,
it's been quite a challenge. It's been quite a challenge. So that list I think is pretty strong against Crix. I'm not 100% sold on it yet. I may end up going with a bunch of Reductors instead of the Eradicators. So a bunch of the Pal 13 Spray guys. They're an option. The Warjack of choice in the list is a Monitor for me because it kills Gorman and Tartarus and Shifting Stones and all these kind of things. And this is all that I wanted against. Against Circle and Crix, primarily. Mm-hmm. So I like that list a lot. I think it's very solid. I think people may start bringing it once all of it's released. And the only thing that is currently not announced with a release date for this list is Enigma Foundries. So this one can be played probably pretty soon. Whereas the Corollary was missing out.
Well,
the
not really pretty soon, because they've announced through February, so it's going to be at least March before you can play this.
It seems fine. That's pretty soon to me.
Okay.
There's no time for Mayhem Cup.
Yeah, maybe. It's early in March, so I doubt it.
Yep. Then, Cyntherion. In my opinion, the tier list is pretty much the way to go. Like, he does so much for Jax, and that tier list gets you all the Jax you want, and gets you a free Galvanizer. The list that I have put together at the moment, which I think is strong, once again, against Crix, and pretty good against Circle, and kind of the other problem matchups for Lucant, is Cyntherion, a Prime Axiom, Monitor, Galvanizer, Corollary, two Cyphers, a Diffuser, an ADO, and two Optifex directives. And this is just, like, the mother of all Warjack lists. If you love Warjacks, and or you like Legion, go play some Therian. You get three heavies and a colossal, and the tricks and firepower of the list at ranged is absolutely ridiculous. Like, Hotshot on a Prime Axiom and a Monitor Shot will kill an Angel a turn against Legion.
It also blows up the Thunderhead, as I learned.
Yeah, it'll put
by the, yeah,
25 this, damage on a Thunderhead.
Thunderhead?
Yeah, it was with Nemo 1.
Okay, I thought you were playing Scorn now.
This was a long time ago. This is like when...
Hotshot on the Prime Axiom is bonkers.
This is when I was trying to run a... Like, I was trying to solve a good... Find a good solution for, like, Mike Prier's stupid Protectorate lists. So I was like, I'll just run a Blackie of a whole bunch of, like, Signar Jacks, because all of his blast damage will do nothing against them. And I tried it out against Will, which I thought was going to do okay as well. It sucked really bad. Like, it was awful. Like, I'm like, I'm just going to shield guard all my guys with Gallon and just a Sentinel and all everything so you can't drag me in. It's like, well, he gets six shots at Pal 11, which you don't think sounds that good. Because it's dice minus eight. Well, it's dice minus eight, which even boosts is like two or three a turn. But if you spike any of those, it like really, really
sucks.
Yeah,
and then you take a monitor shot. Yeah. And if the monitor crits, like, it might just do 10 damage by itself.
Yeah. It shot the Thunderhead, even with one shield guard off the table in a turn. The dice were a little bit high, but it still sucked.
Sure, but when you're making that many damage rolls, like, you're gonna spike some of them. So yeah, it goes a long way.
Yeah, if
for sure. It's also, it's really good at shooting, like, Ravagors and stuff.
Yeah, definitely try it out.
The Pal 11, your Malakarn with what? 2 hit points when we played?
I think it was 3.
3?
Yeah. Yeah, still. Pal 11's.
One Martyr shot and a Prime Axiom. 3 hit points.
Yeah.
That was a good game.
That was a good game.
Boosted Power 11's. Scarier than you think.
Oh, God, yeah. Especially when there's 6 of them.
I mean, Pal 11's in general, like, I remember when I was playing Signar, I was always impressed with how much better the Pal 11 on Rangers was than the Pal 10 on everything else.
Also true. Yeah, and then, like, with Centurion, he just aims and kills 8 infantry models a turn.
Yeah.
Or has the chance to kill 8. And then the 2 hotshotted Cyphers just explode huge amounts of infantry. You get really accurate because you have so much flair out of the Cyphers when you need it. Like, I don't know. I really like that list, so that may be my number 2. I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet, but it's really good against Crix. It's really good against Circle. It's really good against Legion. It's okay against Trolls. Like,
yeah, it sounds like Trolls is still the one that you don't have a great answer for, which is kind of surprising, because Trolls is not...
It's definitely kind of weird.
...typically highly regarded.
Well, yeah. I think one of the problems with Convergence against Trolls is Janissa, mostly, because you don't have Reach Heavies, besides the Inverter, which is not very good. Like, as a heavy, it's the only one without a gun, really.
Yeah.
And... It's still 8 points.
And its reach weapon is the weaker one.
And its reach weapon is the weaker one.
Pal 17.
Yeah, like,
which isn't going to do a whole lot against Trolls, let's face it.
Yeah, exactly. So you have to be able to kill Janissa, and then, like, Lucant is rat 3, Axis is rat 2, the Mother is rat 5, and you're probably not feeding with Mother to kill Janissa.
I would hope not.
Centurion's only rat 5, so if she's in cover, like, your Monitor needs, what, an 11 to hit?
Well, and Centurion, it's probably not a good drop against Trolls anyways, because...
Well, they can kill all those heavies easily.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's okay against Crix, because the blast damage is gonna tear up all the Crix infantry, whereas Trolls with the Creel Stone and their generally high armor are gonna...
Well, it'll kill the single wound. It'll kill all the single wound stuff.
Sure, but yeah. But
the multi-wound ones obviously become an issue. Like, armor 20 champions just...
But I mean, even the single wound stuff is gonna be sitting at armor 17 or 18 with...
Well, sure, yeah. So you're not gonna kill the whole unit, but you'll kill... I don't know.
And then there's tough too.
Yeah, you'll probably kill 4 a turn with the 4. Like, I think actually hitting and killing 1 per template after everything into account is probably fairly reasonable.
Sure.
So you'll kill 4 a turn. The Axiom will kill a lot, but
yeah,
like aiming rat 7, you need 5s to hit. You get 8 shots. He will be able to kill a lot against Trolls, but I don't think you want to play him against Trolls. And I think that's becoming the issue, is that I don't think Convergence is going to be very good against Trolls. And
I just don't.
I don't think that's necessarily a problem, because there aren't a whole lot of Trolls at tournaments.
Correct. Yeah.
Which is good. And Trolls have a hard time against a lot of other stuff, so hopefully they can get knocked out. And you don't have to worry about it.
Once again, not a good plan.
How'd that work out for you at the Invitational?
What? Not a good plan. Wait. It worked out great. I won.
Okay. I will say, Will, you do seem to have a history of being like, oh man, I want to dodge this matchup.
And then I played in the finals. Yeah. Usually I lose, though. Oh, Flanzer. I got lucky.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, so I think Centurion is another very solid caster that can definitely make it into 2 and 3 lists.
Oh man, I have a horrible, stupid idea.
What's
maybe
that?
Axis is a solution to Trolls, since he gives his shit Pathfinder, he can charge over the walls.
No, you don't need to charge over the walls. You need to hit them over the walls. And he actually kind of is the answer to trolls.
Bam.
I don't think so.
Just for the record.
Let's talk about Axis now.
Okay. Well, his feet gives you +2 strength, so it makes Inverters a respectable POW. 1. 2. If you take Angels with him, you can actually kill the Krillstone. Hooray! So then that gets rid of 2 of their armor. 3. You still can't kill Janissa, though.
Yeah.
But it matters a whole lot less.
Not at first. Maybe later on in turns.
Correct. So he wants to take Inverters, which are good against trolls because they have reach. 1. 2. The countercharge is good against trolls because after you kill all of their infantry with your infantry, such as 20 reductors.
Yeah. Do trolls have anything to stop knockdown? Do they have safeguard?
Bouncer,
No, Bouncer has bump.
Bouncer
has bump.
Not that I can think of. But
I'm sure they do. Surefoot on P-Mag Rack?
Okay. There you go.
Sure. But yeah, so I think Axis...
I'm just thinking if you countercharge with the... what the hell is it called?
The Inverter.
Inverter.
Yeah, so countercharge with him is also really good against trolls because they have very few things to engage him, and then you can counter-dong them.
Yeah.
So, wonderful. By the way, counter-donging is charging with the macro pummeler. And then
Because
Manoth John calls that guy the Donganator.
Yep.
It's a thing.
He's not the only one.
Yeah. No.
Well, did you just use the phrase it's a thing?
I do, and I hate it. Okay. And for some reason I'm saying it right now, and I don't want to say it ever again.
Good call.
Nick, I just want you to know that you hurt my soul. Okay.
All right. Anyways, who did you play did you play me with Axis the other day? Yeah, I played against you with Axis, which was very similar to your Aurora list.
Yeah, I scrapped that already.
Okay.
Yeah. Aurora just does that 5 times.
Yeah, you were like, Axis. I think it's good. I'm like, I think it was better with Aurora.
Yeah, I basically played the same list, but it ended up with 3 heavies and less infantry, and still the 2 units of reciprocators.
Where there was the force in the way, and I won on scenario.
Yes, that one.
I mean, this is...
Aurora just would have boss moded that scenario, because she has true path, so I'm going to use that Pathfinder. It's great. Whereas Axis just died to a forest.
The thing is, Axis can be a lot more aggressive, because his... Like, Aurora's feat isn't going to do...
It's more
hit and run.
It's much more of a defensive feat.
Axis can be defensive, or he can just jam up in your face.
Correct, and give you -2 strength.
And you just buy the Alpha Strike with him.
Which is solid.
Which is fine.
But I think the Aurora list runs that style of list better, like the medium infantry list.
No, I agree. I
think Axis, and I think the Axis tier list kind of personifies this, in which you want to run a ton of the small-based infantry, like 30+, and then you want to run like 3 or 4 heavies. Stupid. And you can do that with the tier list. And you can get 4 Enigma Foundries in the tier list. So I haven't made a list for it yet, but it is something that I'm certainly interested in.
That's a full unit coming back every turn.
It's more than a full unit.
More than a full unit.
Yes.
I was about to say, so bring guns to shoot them down, but the problem is if you bring a gun-heavy list, then you're
then
probably...
Then they drop Lucant.
Yeah, it sucks so bad. Like, it's, it really, I think when we see Convergence get their full release and a lot of and more people start picking up, I think they're going to cause a lot more... One, they're going to cause the meta to shift rather dramatically, and 2, I think it's going to be a lot of list chicken whenever you have to face one of them. Like, it's just... I mean, I'm glad that Father Lucan's going to be released, because I hate gun lines so much, and...
Fun lines.
Yeah, no, they're not fun. So I'm glad to see those going away, but it is really just a really hard matchup. But...
Yeah.
Anyways, I think that's... Oh, no, directors.
Unfortunately, you don't get Steel Souls and Axis's tier for a shield guard.
So it is more doable to shoot the Enigma Foundries off the table.
But you can take Conservators, which are the Hoverjack with shield guard.
Uh-huh.
Which are not bad.
And they're like 7
things.
Points,
those
and you have
really
so
I'm really excited
much
to see
infantry. Yeah, I want to do like, if I was going to play the list, it'd probably be 2 of them and 2 Inverters.
And they have, what, is it Righteous Vengeance or just something else?
Hand of Vengeance.
Hand of Vengeance.
So they get the +2 mat and POW, which makes them mat 9 with him.
On his feet, they're mat 9, POW 21.
19. They're 15 base.
Oh, they're 15 base?
So 19.
Still, 19 is not bad. And they're 19's also...
fine, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I mean,
even at that many 17s, it's fine.
Yeah.
You can get free charges, so.
Yeah. It's also 7 points.
Yeah. They're
so why not?
Completely dirt cheap.
It's true.
Better than a Slayer. Those guys are 6 points, right?
Yeah.
Bingo!
I want to hear about this Directrix list.
Directrix?
Because Will has always had trouble coming up with the
Directrix. I have had a lot of problems with Directrix, and I finally built a list that I like.
Does it have 2 monitors in it?
It does, yes.
Yeah.
I really wanted a third, but I think the Cypher in it is important.
I think a Cypher is very important in a lot of cases.
Cypher should be in pretty much every Convergence list.
Probably not Axis, because you're mat 7, so you don't need a Cypher.
No, Matt. So shooting of rough terrain is super obnoxious.
I feel like it might be worth it for the rough terrain.
Maybe. But you can't play it in the tier list.
Oh, you can't?
Yeah.
Okay.
Warjacks without ranged weapons.
Okay.
Yeah,
so the Directrix list I have going at the moment is Directrix, Corollary, Cypher, Monitor, 2 Enigma Foundries, 2, 3 Steel Soul Protectors, Optifex Directive, and 20 Reductors.
Ugh, I remember this list now.
You have a huge amount of sprays to clear infantry.
Reductors are the small base shield wall guys?
Nope, that's Obstructors. They're the small base spray guys. Spray 6, PAL 13. So with, so against Crix specifically, you have 20 sprays, 6 of which return every turn. That can, and when you pop them up, they can aim. So awesome, we're at 7 now. You have, so 20 sprays, you have 2 monitor shots, which are, can go up to PAL 15 with the harm box.
Range once 15. Again,
range 15 as well. So they are almost defender range and almost defender POW most of the time. You have a cipher for rough terrain to stop them from engaging quickly.
Defender's POW
15. Well, they're almost defender POW because you don't always get the harm.
Sure.
But
fair.
They're defender POW-ish.
I mean, they probably, on average, do more than defenders because they have the crit brutal too.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah, that's, it really sucks when you trust me.
So you have that. You have, so two shots there,
this
20 sprays.
Can never get puppet strings.
Yeah, it's really true. It's really true. Probably. Which we're going to go into that comment here in a moment because we have some crazy tech from Michael Chili winners. Actually, from Colin to Michael Chili winners.
Yeah, to Colin, to me, Colin, and Will.
I am actually really terrified of this, but we'll talk about that in a second. So this list is designed to force your opponent to come to you while having enough bodies to jam zones so that you don't lose on scenario. And making it so they don't want to jam you. So they don't just want to run at you, because then you're just going to spray all their infantry to death. And sure, they're only rat 5, so even against, like, defense 13 stuff, they need 8s. You have 20 of them. Go to town. You also have Flare from the Cypher to help out, so they go up to rat 7. And you have Directrix's gun at PAL 15, so PAL 8 blast damage, and you have Shrapnel Swarm, all to deal with infantry. So take that, Crix. And then I really like it against Circle and Trolls, because it has high-powered shooting. So it can deal with things like Janissa. It can deal with beasts that are left out in the open. It can kill the Creel Stone. It can kill Shifting Stones. And with the feat, gives you an incredibly good assassination where you can put 2 monitor shots, a Iron Mother shot, and a Shrapnel Swarm into someone from really far away at very high rat and POW and so forth. The idea behind the list was you want them to come to you so that your Exponent Servitors, which are the harm ones, can aim, was the initial plan. Are you playing a game?
No.
Were you about to play a game?
No. I just got in tablet. I just wanted to see what Kingdom Rush looked like on it. I was actually going to play
it. Oh, my God, Nick. Anyways, thank you. So, yeah, so you've said it answers it answers trolls.
So, well, I'm not 100% sold on the trolls, but I think it's better than the other two options. And I don't really want to play Axis, because I think he just lies to a lot of stuff. But I don't think Axis is currently suited to the meta. Is, I guess, the nicest way I can say that.
That is very, very nice of you, Will. I think that is the nicest way I've ever heard you say that you think something sucks.
Thank you, Nick.
Anyway.
Okay, whatever.
So I haven't actually played that one yet, so we'll see how that works out, and I will report back next episode on how that's going. Yeah, so that's all 5 casters. Oh, also, I think the battle engine is not very good.
Really? I think the battle engine is good, it just doesn't have a list to go in.
Yeah, exactly. Like, sure. I don't think it can currently really be used by anyone.
Like, I feel like
it does okay stuff.
It's good, but it's just like,
other things do it does better.
Exactly. I think it's going to have the Crix problem of,
like, it shoots infantry.
It's really good at stuff, but so it's
well,
not
so
as
do reductors.
Yeah, I mean it's a solid battle engine. I am sure we will see it.
It looks like a giant wiener.
We haven't seen the sculpt yet.
Well, the picture looks like a giant wiener.
It does.
Yeah. But anyways, let's see. Well,
I think that a Weapon Master Jack is pretty good.
The Assimilator?
Yeah.
He's definitely a guy that I have not play tested yet that I definitely need to go into.
I feel like I've been trying to convince you that he's pretty good since they were released and you just...
Well, I think
Ground Pound is also
Ground Pound
pretty
really good.
Cynthirion is solid with him, and I think Directrix is solid with him, and I can't really see playing with anyone else.
He seems very toolsy.
The rat's too low on everyone else to really get used to Ground
Pound. Sure, I agree. But I really think that with... I think Iron Mother is the place for him.
Yeah, so like in my Iron Mother list, one of the monitors may get switched out for him.
He has another way to take care of annoying things like Gorman or Ares or stuff like that. And he, like I was saying, he is very toolsy. He can hit relatively hard with an effective POW 8 POW 18, 17 to 18 fist, which is about average for a heavy.
Well, you know, he's got Weapon Master.
Yeah,
so it's 14 plus 3.5.
Okay.
And then, what Mike's doing. And also having a legit gun. So I think, and he's also only 8 points.
So, one of the reasons that I picked the monitor over him was the sustained attack on his melee weapon. Because Mat 5 is kind of balls.
That's fair.
Sustained attack is randomly, like, I don't know what it is that makes it so good.
It just,
when you read it on paper, it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal.
Think about it. If you need, like, a 6 to hit, or even a 5 to hit, that's what, like a 30% chance to miss?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is actually just like a flat plus 30% damage in mathematical calculations for damage output.
Is that true?
I
feel that that's not...
Just removing the hit roll is so huge.
I don't think it's a 30% increase in damage.
Well, so when you're calculating damage,
yeah.
You find the average of whatever dice you're rolling,
yep.
Add your power minus their arm, multiply by the number of attacks, multiply by your percent chance to hit.
Right. Okay, maybe, more or less. Yeah.
Whatever.
That is true. That is how you calculate how much damage you will do on average.
Okay, moving on.
You just want to move on because I'm right and you're wrong.
No, you are right. There it is. Will just likes hearing people say he's right.
Who doesn't like that, Nick?
I don't know.
All right.
Not everybody's as obnoxious about it as you are, Will.
I love you, Nick. Nick's red right now. He's still embarrassed about his tablet.
Nah, I'm good.
If only there was a way Nick could cut things out of this.
Yeah, I get to edit podcasts so that I don't sound like an ass.
Mm-hmm. But,
all right, anyways, so that's all the casters. Is there anything else? Because I don't want to go into every single
I do think that Convergence is more of an armor faction than anything else. I think Mike, I remember you and I talked about this a long, long, long time ago, probably four years ago now, about how the Pierresque tier list was so good because it broke the mold of the game.
It broke a fundamental rule of the game.
Which was the Alpha Strike is paramount.
Correct.
Convergence breaks that rule as well, just as an entire faction.
Yeah.
Like, you can Alpha Strike Convergence, and they can just shrug it off and kill you anyway.
Yeah. No, having played against it and I've tried to Alpha Strike it, like, every single time, because that's what I generally like to do, is I like to throw my infantry up and just try and, like, start the peace trade early. It does not work against Convergence.
So, what are the good ways to play against it, then? If you were putting together a list that you wanted to take out Convergence, what would you guys do?
I think it's almost exclusively attrition, and I think you have to find a way to do that.
And
but they're so good at attrition that seems like a bad way to go with the Enigma Foundries.
I think you're going to... Exactly.
Like, that's why I think they're so good.
I think you're actually going to need a well-rounded list. Like, if you try and skew either way, then it is absolutely list checking, because if you skew to guns, you get Lucant and lose. If you skew to infantry, you'll get someone like Aurora, and it's really, really hard to out-melee that and outlast that. You want to have something that can put pressure on them with guns, but not have so many guns to where your opponents will be like, oh, well, I'm just going to drop Lucant on you, and you're going to immediately lose.
I think I agree with Mike here. I think a combined arms faction or army is going to be the best.
I think a strong scenario list is going to give.
And I think strong scenario lists, especially a strong shooting scenario list where they drop Lucant against you,
mm-hmm.
is going to be rough for Convergence. I think they're going to have problems getting into zones and holding zones.
Yeah.
And if they can do that, and if you can get in there, I think it's going to be really tough to beat with mm-hmm. properly constructed attrition lists. And, I mean, I'm not saying that all that they do is attrition. I think that's their strong suit.
Sure. All right, so I think that's it for Convergence
now. Now we need to talk about Lulzy Scorn strategies.
Do you want to talk about that first or do questions?
I want to talk about that first.
Let's talk about that first. That's a pretty wacky deck.
So, two Reptile Hounds kill a Stormwall. Go. All
right.
How does it work, Mike?
All right, so I was talking with Colin, and Colin is...
Colin might be the king of jank in Houston.
He certainly is the king of jank in Houston.
I was about to say, he might be coming up to take Flanzer's crown of taking weird stuff. I mean, let's face it, he took Tharn Bowman, or whatever they call it.
And went on gauntlet with him.
Exactly. But anyway, so I can't remember why we got on the topic, but using Zal, we're trying to come up with new ways to abuse Last Stand, which, I mean, the in-your-face one right now is Swamp Shamblers, which, by the way,
is legit.
They are as good as you think. Like, Last Stand on those things with the Taskmaster is hilarious.
I need to mail those to Trevor.
Like, yeah, you do.
What, is he painting for you?
No, just since he's going to, like, Tempicon and stuff like that, I'm going to give him mine so that he can get him painted up since I'm not, you know, going to be dead to the world soon.
Pretty much, yeah. At least dead to the world.
So somebody might as well use him.
I agree. But anyways, so just looking for things to abuse, like, you're always, like, before it was just looking for things like Brutes and Savages. So the next step there would be, like, Razor Worms and then the Scorn Dogs, or Reptile Hounds, whatever they're called. Pretty much we did the math, and... When you bounce Last Stand, if you take Aptimus Marketh with him, so you can bounce it essentially three times, one of the Scorn Dogs runs and engages whatever you're attacking, then the other two go and attack it after being enraged, so they charge free. They pretty much turn into little mini Morags, which if you don't know,
they're actually better than Morag. Each,
I guess they get three.
They get three hits instead of two on a good day.
Yeah, and this is also assuming that you feat on them as well.
Correct.
But yeah, five dice does a lot of damage when they're power 10. Like it is, it's scary.
So the average is 27.8.
Yeah.
So against the Stormwall, you get six attacks, 27.8, 8.5 at attack.
Yeah.
Times six. If you want to do the math.
It's like 50 something.
50.5.
Yeah.
Leaves it with 3.5 hit points.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you have to, like, the list is very skewed and very goofy and like,
4 points of models leave a Stormwall.
Theoretically six, because one of them has to run to engage.
6 points of models.
Theoretically nine, because you need Marketh to bounce Last Stand.
Oh, fuck off.
And actually, theoretically 11, because you need Paingivers to enrage them.
Similar to the way Protectorate players need to add
in the
choir. I'm
giving Nick my fat face.
And the choir has to be added into every point cost as well, right?
To leave a Stormwall with 3.5 hit points.
No, it's...
one kills a Reckoner.
Yeah, I've not played this yet, but
mathematically, very sound.
Oh, yeah.
Whether or not it works, I don't know.
I think that,
but
it's
hilarious.
I mean, they die to like errant crossbows or any sort of blast damage or covering fire.
This is why we need Karax.
Defender cannons.
This is why we need Karax, Mike.
Reckoner gun.
Karax.
Redeemer blast.
If you're shooting Karax. If you're shooting a Reckoner gun at a Scorn dog, then
I think
are,
Mike's winning.
Ashes to ashes from Peace Ed will kill like four of them.
Yeah, through the Arc Node. Yeah.
No, it's like dice plus one. It doesn't kill them.
Harvey's feet will kill, like, all of them.
Yeah, fine. Don't run into Harvey's feet. Yeah, okay, I also assume you're not completely brain dead when playing this.
This is Mike.
Yeah.
Fair point.
You know, this is, it's a really goofy list. I've been messing around with, trying to tweak the Zal list a lot. Last weekend, I played against Mike Preer and his new wacky, stupid Resnik list. Which, stay tuned to 2014 for that thing, because Mike has apparently pledged to only play him in Sev 1.
No, he's just not going to play Harbinger.
He's told me that he's pledged to play Resnik 1. Or, I guess, Resnik 1 next year.
Well,
he's convinced that list is good. I think it's stupid and janky. It's
four Reckoners and two.
I don't know that he specified Resnik 1. He might be leaving himself an out to play Resnik
2.
No,
you know, the intention was clear. But pretty much,
clear. I don't know if the intention is ever clear with Preer. Yeah.
The lack of guns in the Zal list, I really missed, like, so, right now, I've swapped out...
How are you complaining about lack of guns in Scorn? Have you not been playing Scorn?
Yeah, I have.
He doesn't hate Vinitors.
No, I don't.
Vinitors are terrible. Okay, they're not terrible. Every time I play with them, they are underwhelming.
I agree. They are probably a little bit, like, maybe 1.2 expensive. Like, the max unit just sucks. And when I was building the list, I really wish that I had, like, two more points. But...
maybe. I just can't roll fives to hit, you know, the defense 12 infantry.
Yeah, well, I lost a Preer today because I didn't roll four. Sometimes it happens.
Sure.
So pretty much, I've taken out, I've redone the pretty much infantry loadout, and I put in full Venators with UA, because you can last stand them and have them be your front rank, and they can do some work, and they prevent, like, they at least let you start doing something with your army instead of just running forward and running forward. And if they have anything annoying, like that's either laying down covering fire or laying down, anything like that, your infantry can actually do work, as opposed to the last time I played Mike, which is where I just had to run into these weird, ridiculous angles to try and get around all of his, like, whatever the cleanser clouds are called. I don't know. But pretty much, like, I just want to have something that allows me to reach out and, like, put some early hurt on the enemy. And also with Last Stand, they're still not that bad in melee. I want them to run up and die. I mean, they're no worse than Karax in melee.
They're kind of expensive as a run up and die unit.
They're not running up and...
well, you also get to shoot with them.
But
if they die, he's not sad, because then he gets stuff out of them.
Yeah, so they're running up first turn, and maybe they pop their mini-feet first turn, shoot, and then they're going to advance back. And then, when it comes time to it, they can just run in and hit things with their crappy swords.
Sure. With Last Stand on them.
Exactly. Yes, of course.
So they trade evenly for infantry in melee, and they shoot before they go in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they turn into Bob
Trunks. I don't know. They might be okay with Zal. I don't like them with most casters. I don't know. Maybe I'm just wrong. Like I said, every time I've played them, I've been underwhelmed by what they do for their points.
I can see that. Yeah, God, they're expensive. Yeah.
I don't know why the UA is 3 points.
No, the UA is two. It's the min to max unit.
Yeah, it's the min to max unit goes for, it's a 5-9 unit.
Yeah, I would just take the 7 points, take the min with a UA.
Yeah, maybe. That's what I did for a long time with Epic Hexerus before Slingers and Incendiary I came out.
Yeah, now with Epic Hexerus, those other two units are clearly the better choice.
God, Incendiary are so good.
Incendiary are ridiculous with Epic Hex.
They're really good.
Excuse me.
All right. Anything else we want to talk about on that list?
No. Alright. Because it actually needs playtesting because it's so goofy.
While we're talking about Scorn, and Dojo and lists, I just want to mention something that Trevor from Chain Attack is doing, that I think is kind of cool. He's called it the Scorn crowdsourcing, where he's posted a list and a bunch of people are going to go out and playtest it and all get together and post feedback in one spot and kind of make changes to the list together. So I think that's an interesting idea and I look forward to seeing how it goes.
I think Trevor's going to be very sad at the end of this.
I don't know.
I think it's going to spiral wildly out of control.
It's an interesting new idea that hasn't really been tried. So, you know, I just want to toss it out there. And if people are interested, they can go help out. And if not, they can not, or they can make fun of it on the forums or whatever. I don't really care.
I love making fun of Trevor on the forums. I don't know if I've ever actually done that.
Maybe just in the judge forum where we can't see it.
No.
No. But anyways.
He's a pretty legit dude.
Yes, he is.
Alright, so let's do some announcements before we get questions.
Mayhem Cup!
Yeah, so the first one is the Mayhem Cup. It's coming up. It's March 8th and 9th. I think we are at about 22 people.
So almost halfway full?
Almost halfway full. So you guys should sign up if you want to come.
Call Asgard at 713-677-0699 to sign up.
And when you do that, give Will both your phone number and your email address. He hasn't been collecting email addresses.
Nope, I won't be asking for it. Because I'm a dick.
You are a dick. So what if I need to make an announcement to, like, everybody that signed up for the Mayhem Cup?
Just post it on the Action Press thread.
It'll be fine.
It's also on the big boards.
Oh, man, Will.
What?
Will is frustrating me right now. I am vexed.
Yes, I can see he is visually upset.
Yes. So Mayhem Cup is going to be sweet. It's going to be a two-day event. First day is going to be, I think, four rounds of Steamroller. Then we'll cut to the top 16. And go to a Masters format on the second day.
And Tom Guan's gonna be there.
Tom Guan will be there. That's very exciting.
That is awesome, by the way.
So come and represent your store, try to take the cup back to your store.
And meet Tom Guan.
And all of the Iowans who haven't signed up yet.
Yeah, no, that's what I was gonna say.
And next. None of the Iowans that have signed up. God.
So far, not a single Midwesterner. Not just the Iowans. Nobody from, Illinois Madison. Or Kansas has signed up either.
I just want you to know that by not signing up, you're admitting defeat and that we are better than you in every way.
So what I want to do is I want to, you know those come and take it flags? I want to get like three or four of them, and mail them to like John and Rydia Fan and Nigel and, I don't know, somebody from Chicago.
Well, you really pissed off the Chicago guys, by the way, so.
legitimately pissed them off?
Yes.
You were an asshole, Nick, so if they aren't legitimately pissed off, they should have been.
I will say you were wasted out of your mind. It was
Are you talking about in the restaurant?
Yes, in the restaurant, where you were getting very belligerent with people.
At least that wasn't recorded.
It's true.
Yeah, I guess so. Why not? But anyways.
Now it's just whispered in shadows.
Mayhem Cup, gonna be sweet. What else is there?
I mean.
I feel like there's another event we
need
to
should we just mention
War Games Con is later.
TempleCon.
Yeah, TempleCon.
Shout out to TempleCon.
If you don't know about TempleCon,
you should know when that is.
You should know about TempleCon.
Yeah, if you're only hearing about TempleCon now, it's probably too late for you because all those events already signed up are probably filled.
Mm-hmm.
Like, by the time it hits the forums and registration's open, those events are gone.
Yeah.
However, other than the team tournament, which if you want to play that and you're not on a team already, there you're probably not playing.
When are they announcing the War Machine Weekend qualifiers for next year? I know registration closes the 22nd.
I feel like in a couple of weeks.
I don't know when they actually get
I would guess January, February.
I mean, it's known that
TempleCon will absolutely be
one.
Obviously.
But, but definitely go to TempleCon even if you haven't signed up, because other than the team tournament, the other events almost always have people drop because it's convention and people get drunk or tired or just don't show up.
Or qualify in the first one or whatever.
Do love getting drunk and tired.
I will say, I did apply for the Mayhem Cup to be a qualifier. I give it a 50-50 shot of being one or not. I'll let you know as soon as I hear about that.
But yeah, TempleCon is going to be awesome. Definitely go out there. 4 days this year, so it's going to be super awesome, and we might all be dead at the end of it, but...
TempleCon?
Yeah. It's 4 days. But, anyways, and then... what other news?
Oh, wow. We have all kinds of questions in here.
Yeah, we do.
And
we have questions on the Twitters.
I like questions.
All right.
Ask me questions.
What do you want? Do I start with Twitter or that?
Ollie Knox. He wants to know, should the Houseguard Thane and or the Iron Fang Kovnik have been character solos?
Probably.
No way.
For how powerful they are? Probably. Now, I think they aren't as game balance pieces because then it allows you to do lots of things, and those factions were both underpowered, and both of these pieces massively helped them.
I feel like maybe they should have been FA1 rather than character.
Two was probably a bit much.
Yeah.
I feel
restricting them at one per list is much different than restricting them to only one list. Like, I don't think they reach nearly the level of like a Janissa or a Tartarus.
I feel like they should either be FA1 or they should make up some new rule that lets you have two of them in one list.
How about this? This is the way I would approach it. Unlike, they are more like problem fixers or like.
Yeah, I mean, they solve issues with the factions.
Yeah, they answer problems as opposed to Tartarus, Gorman, and stuff like that.
Which cause problems.
Who are just, they're characters and they just happen to be completely overpowered. The Thane and the Kovnik are not overpowered, they just help them out in a lot of their shortcomings. So, sure. No, I definitely not a character.
Okay, and then related questions. Do you think more character UAs and solos are good for the game?
Yes.
Character specific?
Mm-hmm.
You think so?
I think it creates list build diversity.
Okay. And then...
Now, I think they need to be careful with UAs, because a lot of the times when you get a UA for a unit, there's no reason to take it without the UA.
That's true. That's true almost every UA that is...
Correct. So if they create character
UAs... Not the Reeve UA.
Fuck that thing. Jesus Christ.
So the problem with UAs is pretty much everyone that exists in the game is either an auto-include or you never see it.
Unfortunately, yes.
I don't think are any UAs that you sometimes see and sometimes don't.
Yeah. Without good reason, anyway.
Yeah. I mean, can you think of any?
Like, Baal is required in some tier lists, but other than that, you never see him. I mean, he's fine.
He's 3 points. Like, and he should have been 2 points. He gives him a stupid ability that was an oversight on Privateer Press's part.
Yeah, I feel like that was a mistake.
No, that was 100% a mistake.
That Hex Hunters get Hunter, which doesn't do anything for spells.
Yeah. But, no, I mean, I feel that they're more on track with things like giving alternative UAs, but...
So
that's kind of hard to. Then you run into the same problem, though. So
what I meant with mine was if they give them character UAs, now you're just gonna see. So like if the Black Dragon UA was a character UA, you would see like one regular UA and then one Black Dragon UA and then probably never see like. Okay, bad example. So like if they give Stormguard a UA, mm-hmm. that's a character. It won't make people take more Stormguard. It's gonna make people take one unit in one list and that's it. And it might actually make people take less of a unit if they get a character UA.
Mm-hmm.
Because then they can't have the UA in both lists, so
why take them off?
So sort of like blood trackers. Like, you basically only ever see blood trackers with Nuala.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't take Nuala, like, you'll never I'm not gonna say never, but you will very rarely see someone with blood trackers in one list and then blood trackers and Nuala in a second list.
I feel like blood trackers might be the one unit that I sometimes see without the UA.
Yes, is Colin.
But at the same time, but as Will was saying, isn't it also in the other list though with UA?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So that's the thing. Like,
yeah, like that is very rare, I think, for something like that to happen.
God, I really can't think of any units that sometimes take the UA and sometimes don't. And it's
no, the troll Scaldi. Scribe thing.
Scaldi might be the only one.
And the scribe thing for the stone.
No, that scribe. Thing
that's basically always.
Is he always there?
Yeah,
because if you take the stone,
you pay one more point.
Vorkesh. Some people love him, and some people hate the hell out of him.
Vorkesh falls into the never sees play list.
No, some people love the crap out of him.
Yeah, some people
try to fall into the never see play.
They all as well. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't mean he's good.
Yeah. God, Vorkesh. Why can't it just be Sacred Ward?
Yeah. No, honestly, I really hope they keep making more of the, like, unit buffing solos like that. I think they're very flavorful.
I like them a lot more than UAs.
Yep.
I think it opens up a lot of interesting design space. Like, I think the House Guard Thane is the best designed one, and just because it,
It does amazing things for two different units.
Yeah.
I think the Kovnik is probably the biggest one of the Thane probably fills more gaps and answers more problems than the faction had.
Stealth is
enormous. But he helps the faction as a whole, whereas the Kovnik takes a lot more things and makes them better. He doesn't answer any problems, but like because assault commandos.
Correct. Well, he was just
bad.
Basically a straight buff
to
IFP and assault commandos and I guess shock troopers.
I will say this, I do not think shock troopers are bad. If they are walking 6 and shield wall and being armor 20, that is not a bad thing.
I feel like if you
it's not great.
I feel like if you just put one back every turn and heal the ones that
yeah, of course.
Bingo!
They'd be pretty good.
Yeah. This is the thing. If you like playing Manowar, guess what? You can
go play
Convergence and you'll
it's
love
way better
the crap
than
out of
it.
Alright, Zachary House wants to know, so he says, Will, you've been very polite and seem to genuinely be seeking people's opinions in your Convergence thread.
Yeah.
And wants to know what the hell happened to you. He wants somebody to tell him that modulators are bad, and...
Modulators are bad. I think he meant...
No, he said modulators.
Oh, those are bad.
And that should he feel bad for playing them?
Probably.
Okay, there you go, Zach. There's that. And he also wants you to tell him the best way to build a Lucan list so that he can go to a tournament and have somebody walk up to him and say, hey, that guy's playing Will Pagani's Lucan list.
I did that earlier this podcast, all so right. You're welcome.
There you go.
Yeah, run that list and make people sad.
It's so good.
Your Signar opponents will hate the hell out of it. I don't think Signar can deal with that list.
Not efficiently.
No, it sucks so bad. Second worst game of my life.
It was the worst game of your life when you decided to trample instead of charge?
Fuck you. No. That was an awesome game that ended dumbly. The worst game ever was against Nick.
Because you had a completely clear charge lane?
Yes. And you trampled? We know. I know. I was there.
There weren't even other models.
I know. I was there.
There were like four models alive.
Okay. Yeah, there was like four. Anyways. So.
And you trampled.
Alright, so the next actual...
I was tired and maybe hungover.
The next actual question is from Tobin Ross. He wants us to help him pick out a pair of Steamroller casters. As
this guy
know,
loves Stormbringers.
He loves Stormbringers. Will didn't even read the email and he knew that.
I do.
He loves Stormbringers and he would like to include that. So what do you guys like for the second caster pairing?
The Stormbringers?
Yes.
Bingo. I don't know.
After having just assessed conversions, I feel that it...
Something that deals with
something that deals with that. Because Stormbringers definitely does not answer that at all.
I'm pretty sure if Lucant sees Stormbringers, he's like, gimme.
You cannot drop Stormbringers either.
Gimme. A lot.
I feel like Stormbringers might be able to just disrupt your jacks.
So, pretty sure I can beat that list without focus.
Incidentally, also, you can never disrupt the... That's the Prime Axiom.
Also, the Prime Axiom can't be disrupted.
So he just gives you the finger.
Let's point this out right quick. There's only one jack on that list that gets focused that's not the Prime Axiom, and it's a Cypher.
That's true.
Yeah. Like,
okay.
And every once in a while, a Mitigator.
I forgot that Colossals can't be disrupted.
I did have a brilliant plan when I was playing Will. I was like, I'm just gonna Storm Call that stupid Prime Axiom to save my Storm All. I'm like, oh wait, this is not how this game works. And then it sucked.
I don't know. I like East Striker. I feel like it best answer for convergence.
Why? Like, is it positive charge? Like, I don't see it.
Positive charge.
Positive charge and rebuke stops you from shield balling.
Yeah. Be good.
Which is not terrible.
I guess it's okay.
Any kind of defense that you can't really harpoon.
I don't know. I feel like E-Striker can build a lot of lists that are atypical for Signar and you can catch people off guard with.
Correct. He also has a pretty legit assassination Aurora style.
Yeah.
I guess Aurora is E-Striker style. Where he just kind of rockets across the board and one-shots you.
I'm not convinced on E-Striker. I admit it's possible, so maybe explore him.
I'll explore E-Striker. I like Nemo 2?
I like Nemo 1.
Nemo 1? Which one am I thinking of? The Nemo's confused.
You're probably thinking Nemo 1. Nemo 1 has...
He's the one with the movement stuff and the 5 focus.
Yeah, that's Nemo 1.
Nemo 1. Yeah, I like Nemo 1.
I love Nemo 1.
Just in general.
Too. I was playing him before I jumped to...
I don't really have a list. I just like him.
I think you need to put Thorn in your Nemo 1 list.
Seems good.
Which I guess Thorn is probably in Stormbringers.
Yes. It's actually the requirement, I think.
Okay. Well, maybe not Nemo 1 then, because Thorn is so off the hook with Nemo 1.
He is, but I think you can also get away with a Lancer.
It's not quite as good, but...
Yeah.
It's not nearly as good.
I just love the wacky deck assassination that Thorn can get.
Drive.
Clearly, I'm not going for the assassination. I'm going for just...
Yeah.
The
reaction drive, locomotion.
I actually...
Plus 2 strength and 5 focus.
I know he's not out yet, but
I've seen a Sentinel
soon.
Kill someone with its shield with 5 focus. It walked into a gorge and just beat him to death with the shield. Oh my god.
Nice. I'm really looking forward to Signar Sturgis. I think he's going to have game.
That is true.
He's going to be really tricky. He's going to be very different.
Oh, but you hated him when he first came out.
No, I hate the Crix one.
He hates the Crix one. Okay. Crix Sturgis is
dildos.
Pretty bad. He has a bunch of stuff that I look at, I'm like, what the fuck happened?
When is he coming out?
April, theoretically.
Wow, so yeah, it's actually going to be out most of next year.
Yeah. I just got an email saying that they're actually ahead of schedule.
I am super excited because I kickstarted all that dumb stuff.
Yeah, me too. I spent far too much money on that.
Same here.
I spent more on the AVP game. And even more than on the AVP game on the cardboard terrain. For the AVP game.
Will's been showing me the terrain.
Dude.
Whatever.
It looks sweet.
Okay.
It's another...
Can you use it for War Machine?
No.
Can you? Yeah. Is it going to work? Probably not.
I don't care.
It's another
indoor sci-fi terrain.
It's another game that Will pick up, but then we'll all realize
we'll
that we
probably
play War Machine.
Never play, but I will own those models.
Yeah.
And all of that terrain.
The models do look legit, but it's not War Machine. Yeah, so, as we've learned with all of our other games that we've ever brought back from Gen Con or anything, they don't last.
I still haven't assembled the Drop Zone Commander stuff I bought 2 years at Gen Con.
Those models are sweet.
They are.
And they're not.
That game looks sweet.
But.
Never assembled it.
All right, anyways, next question.
All right, let's see. So Tyler Webb wants to hear more about the Kray list, but we'll save that for next week and maybe do something like we did with the Zal list on that.
Done.
Sweet.
All right.
All right, and to Twitter?
To the Twitters.
All right.
The Twitter.
Let's see. All right, first, oh my god. First question is from...
Tim Simpson was the first one, I believe.
Yep. Yes, he is. Trincher Commandos, Hidden Gem or Jank? I like them. Why the hell don't they have Pathfinder? They had Pathfinder.
Yeah. Oh, cause it's because you don't need a Pathfinder to run out of trenches. Yeah.
I feel like the main problem with Trencher Commandos is that they don't really do something that Signar really doesn't already do better.
Like,
anatomical precision kills low armor infantry, which
kills high armor low defense.
Yeah.
Which gun mages don't.
Signar has no shortage of ability to kill infantry.
Correct. Yeah, I agree. And I think that's what they do the most. Now, I was helping a new player, I don't remember who it was, but sniping them with the grenades was actually kind of legit.
I've killed a war wolf with that. You throw a grenade, well, it was with Kara Sloan.
Oh, how about those guys with Sturges?
Sure. I want to play regular trenches with Sturges. Yeah. Honestly.
Snipe, right?
Yes,
he has. And Arcane
Shield.
And Blur. He's Peace Striker!
But not the most boring man in the world.
Wait, no, he doesn't have all three of those.
I'm pretty sure he does. He might not have Blur.
He doesn't have Blur.
Okay, no Blur.
He might have Blur. But he has Snipe and Arcane Shield.
I know he has those, but he does not have Blur.
I'm gonna look it up.
Are those models in War Room yet?
I don't think
so. No, they're in, I have them on my stupid
okay.
Go, Mike.
iPhone thing.
Alright.
Where's my,
I think they're probably bad. Honestly.
I mean, there are a lot of points for...
They're advanced to play, at least, right?
Are they an 8-point unit or a 10-point unit?
They're 10. They're exactly the same cost.
I feel like then they suffer from the same problem as Trenchers, where they have, like, four cool rules that they're going to use one of a turn, but they pay 3 extra points for them on every turn.
Also known as retribution problems.
I feel that if you do take Trencher Commandos, you're usually taking them for the Scatter Gunners, which, again, you're using... That's going to be because you're using infantry. Like, I think the Scatter Gunners are pretty legit. If you throw them in with Rangers, they will spray down infantry.
Honestly, I'd just rather have that unit of Rangers. They're cheaper.
Yeah.
They have the same range.
The Trencher Commandos have some cool things, they could be good. The Matt's having with the Amatomic Precision is good. I feel that they just are, like, one rule away from being really good. Like, if they had Pathfinder, or if they had, like, Duelist.
Or were 2 points less.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, anything like that would have made them, like, I think pretty legit.
All right, next. Let's see. Anthony wants to know what faction casters would we recommend for theme tournaments.
At 35 points, Runes of War.
Runes of War.
It is still undefeated in theme.
Yeah.
Runes of War.
We haven't had someone from Houston lose a game in a theme tournament with that list.
At 35 points.
At 35 points.
Pia Rusk.
Pia Rusk is also a huge pain in the ass.
I kind of like the P. Makeda.
With 2 units of Venators?
Units of Venators.
Yeah, with UAs, baby.
I don't know why they seem better in that list. I think it's the free UA, but...
What?
I don't know. I kind of like him in that list.
Okay.
I don't know why.
The Kaya tier list is fun. Reavers.
I think Harbinger's tier list is super obnoxious. The Bunker list of all armor. She builds a Fort Awesome and stands in it, and her cheap jacks just approach you and kill you.
Pillars of Halak is deserving of some
Xerxes tier list.
Yeah, the Xerxes tier list that gets you their point reduction on
all the cataphracts.
That
one's pretty legit.
Stormbringers.
Stormbringers, obviously.
Yeah.
And then any of the popular troll ones like
Family Warshade can get some work done.
Oh, Butcher 2 as well. Screw that guy. Let's see.
And Fangs of the Dragon while we're on Cador spam list.
Which one's that?
Butcher 1. No quarter tier.
Yeah, I hear that list is unbeatable.
Yeah, you can't beat it.
Which one is that?
Oh,
It's Butcher 1.
It's Butcher 2's tier list, but with IFP Iron Fang Pikeman instead of...
That also seems legit.
Dudes.
Incidentally, also, the Magnus Bad Seeds.
God, that list is sweet.
I knew Will was gonna...
Jesus, I love that list.
Will really does love that list. Well, I haven't seen Will
any others? Are we missing any? We're probably missing some.
I'm sure.
All of those are good.
Yeah. Chain Gang.
Chain Gang's good. Have we been calling them theme forces or tier lists?
They're tier... Oh, my God. Let's not get into it.
DC's going to be upset with us.
He doesn't listen to this podcast.
DC actually listens to us.
Charles Slaughter III does.
That's good.
Well, then he'll go tell DC that he fucked it up. Or didn't fuck it up.
Depending.
I don't really know or care.
All right. Anyways, next question from Trevor. Community crowdsource lists, genius or folly?
I'm going to go with folly.
I think you're going to be very sad about this, Trevor.
Solid idea. I think the execution...
You're going to get a headache from it.
Will be the result of a fortune cookie.
I think the forums right now are just dominated by keyboard cowboys, and it's gonna make you sad. But, anyways, let's see. Okay, Rob. Oh man, I can't just pronounce this.
Alanis.
All right. Are there any models that are so great but can be made better if there are more that are not so great? I'm sorry, but they can be made better if there are more
reptile hounds.
Reptile hounds.
Apparently,
Doom Reavers.
Mechanithralls?
Actually, Mechanithralls are the best example of that.
Yeah, because, like, one unit of Mechanithralls doesn't do anything. Three units kills everything.
That's true.
Let's see.
Reductors in Convergence. Like, that's one unit doesn't do anything. Two units kills everything.
Rune Shapers.
Yep.
One unit is pretty stupid.
I don't know.
When there's four of them, it sucks.
The sweet tits.
Yeah, it's...
Yes, is the short answer to that question.
I also feel that when I was still playing Epic Striker back in the day...
Kossite Woodsman.
No, not Kossite Woodsman. Those are just suck. Stormguard. When there's 10, like, if you... Stormguard won you that if you ever run a minimum unit, that's just awful. Like, I don't know what the hell happened there.
Hey, there was a guy that won, like, Adepticon, like, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
That had the min unit of Stormguard.
It was goofy shit. But, like, 20 Stormguard with E-Striker's feet will just plow through so much
lots
infantry. Like, it's insane. But.
Yep.
Yep. Anyways.
Oh, that's Griffins in Virus 2.
That is true. Matthew Lee is playing, Retribution this year. Yep. Asgard's meta is gonna be really weird this
year. Yeah, they're all, like, everybody's switching factions. Colin's going to Crix. Jeremy Lee is staying with Crix. Matt Lee is switching to something like he always does.
David Smith is maybe running Mercs.
He's going to Mercs.
Yeah. Will's playing Convergence.
He said he's going to Mercs until he gets sad, and then he's going to go back to Legion. I don't think it'll be too long.
Well, don't worry. He's going to be... I really want to play Mercs. I really do.
So go play Mercs.
Ice cream scoop hands, man.
You have all the PG
so
points.
Dumb. I do. Ice cream... I know it looks dumb. That I also have a CJ Mandrax specifically because it looks dumb.
God, no, I still really want to get the hat from Siege and Mantrax and put it on my Epic Makeda.
You mean Makeda 3?
No.
Oh, Makeda 2. Okay. But, anyways, yeah, I think, I don't know, our meta is going to be all wacky next year. I don't know, maybe we'll suck really bad and go back to power gaming again.
Oh, that would make so many people happy.
If we lost?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
You guys can't do that. You guys have to back up my trash talk.
Don't look at me. I haven't won anything ever.
I'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll be fine.
Will, if you don't win lots of events, I'm going to look dumb.
Well, I might do that anyway.
Yep, let's see.
All right, is there anything else? I think we're about wrapping it up.
I feel that there was something else we were supposed to
do. Oh, yes, we, as of probably around January 1st, we'll be moving over to ingamegaming.net, Matty K's website. He's trying to expand the content that he offers on the site. So,
yeah,
we're
so
gonna
stay tuned on that one, guys. There's going to be a lot of that.
Yeah, he... Yeah, you're probably familiar with Matty K if you're listening to this. He records all the big tournaments and posts the videos online. So, yep, we'll be joining forces with him. And you'll also probably see expanded content from us as well. I think it's going to be like battle reports and stuff like that. But hopefully...
We got a lot in the works.
Yeah.
That's really not true, but we're talking about a lot.
It's in the works.
That means it's in the works, Nick.
Nick.
Okay.
It's in the works.
But yeah, look forward...
Don't you naysay me.
Around January.
Nay, I say. Nay. It's a thing, Will.
I would like to also just say thanks to John and the rest of the news crew for hosting us.
Yeah.
It's
been great.
Has it been 2 years?
Almost.
A year? I think it's more
a year
and a half.
Yeah.
I will say that without Muse, our podcast would be...
It's getting damn close to 2 years because our first episode
was TempleCon.
Pre-TempleCon.
Yeah. No, it was post-TempleCon.
Was it post-TempleCon?
Yeah. Because it was a TempleCon wrap-up that sucked with horrible sound quality.
I think we recorded the first episode before TempleCon.
And we scrapped it because it was
decided
atrocious.
It was terrible.
Yeah, it was.
Have we ever told the story of our first episode here?
The one where we just read the Signar book to people?
Yeah, basically our first episode, we were like, let's do an episode on long threat range assassinations, and what it was is just us reading numbers out of the books.
And I like
By the way, they exist.
Ten minutes into us three and Billy were just like, we are the most boring people
Billy
in the world.
Used to be on the
podcast. That's when Billy used to show up. But, anyways.
He's fallen into Dota now. Even worse than me.
Yeah. But anyways, like I was saying, thanks a lot to John and the Muse guys, because without them, this podcast certainly wouldn't exist.
That's absolutely true.
God knows that I wouldn't do anything for it.
Setting up a website is hard.
But
it's really not.
Yeah, okay, maybe even if it's not, none of us were going to do it.
We would have hosted it on the Asgard site.
I guarantee that wouldn't have happened.
No, it would have.
I'd make a bet on it that it wouldn't
have happened. I don't think we would have nearly the listenership we do now. But.
Okay, there you go.
I don't know, Will Pagani's a pretty big draw.
Nah. I'm just a guy.
He's a giant douche.
I'm just a guy in a hat with no more hair.
Yeah, we'll cut his hair off if you didn't hear.
I'm sure everyone saw. By the way, I don't know what the hell, how that actually happened.
Oh, the ponytail's over here somewhere.
God, that's so gross. Just.
I don't know where I went.
Well, I think you should, take the hair and, make some lockets with the hair and sell
it. Give it to, like, Jake and Flanders.
No, I think you need to tape it to the Mayhem Cup.
Oh, yes. I'm gonna super glue it to the Mayhem Cup if the Iowans don't show up.
Oh, I like this idea.
You guys are so fucked.
But, anyways. I think this has become silly. I want to go get ice cream now.
Let's go.
Because pie is still burned down. by the way, if you didn't hear, House of Pies burned down, which is a tragedy for us, and you should feel my pain vicariously.
It's not a tragedy for me, because there is definitely one really close to where I live, and I ate there last night, and I got some cherry pie.
You actually ate there? I'm sorry.
Still have not. You eat there all the time, Will.
I know, I'm sorry about it every time.
Okay.
I miss that food so much.
Also, no, I was don't. Excited because I thought Sassy Waitress was working there, but then it wasn't her, and I was sad.
Nobody knows who Sassy Waitress is.
Come to Houston and visit us, and we'll take you to House of Pie.
I will buy your pie.
Yeah, there you go. Oh my god, there
you get one piece.
Something that was mean.
Everyone
to say.
Gets one.
Mm-hmm.
Will buy you free pie. It's a thing.
I think. All right, we rambled on too long, and it's time for ice cream, which is also
that's true.
All right,
I guess it'll do.
All right, this is Road to War, episode 43. Signing off.
All right, good night.
Good night.
All right.
Will, what was the combo with fucking
Day with Day of Dragons that goes infinite? I can't remember.
What? Oh, don't do it. It's an enchantment, right?